Welcome, and thank you for coming to another one of our broadcasts. Today I want to go into 1 Corinthians chapter 1:30 just one more time, because we want to look at it a little bit closer for one of its other benefits that it gives to us. For there we read, "Of God you are in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God, both righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Now, the first great blessing that we hear about Christ, who is our wisdom that is revealed to us in the gospel message, is simply that of righteousness. And when we think about it from the perspective of being saved and how that translates into our everyday lives, we really don't have any real qualm or difficulty with understanding how he is our righteousness, because there can be no real prosperity or progress for any nation, home, soul, or individual unless there's this piece of righteousness that is made available to us by the gospel message. In some way, as a machine cannot do any work unless it's at rest, so also we must have the good foundation of the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which overcomes all of our previous sinfulness. Because sin has disturbed all of our relationships, it puts us out of harmony, not just with God, but with ourselves and with other individuals that we live among. So the first requirement of being saved is one that brings the blessedness of a righteousness, which basically brings about a peace that we can have with one another, and especially with God. And it's a peace that can only come when we are truly in harmony with God's will, because only there can true peace remain. Jesus Christ himself came to restore this peace to earth, which is a peace in the soul. And the way that he does this is by restoring us to a righteous, sinless situation. Because he is Melchizedek, the King of Righteousness, he reigns as the King of Peace, as Hebrews chapter 7, verse 2 would point to us. And this is kind of a fulfilling of a promise that was talked about by the prophets, specifically in Isaiah, the 32nd chapter, and it's kind of specifically pointed out in the 1st and the 17th verse, where it talks about a king reigning in righteousness, and that the work of righteousness shall bring peace. And this is the effect of righteousness, that we become more quiet and calm, and that there's a certain assurance that remains with us forever. So we turn and we look at the scriptures, and we find that not only is Christ being in him, in the sense of being a branch on the vine, a beginning of wisdom for us, the true fear of the Lord for us, he is also the righteousness of God that we are able to come into. Now, it needs to be talked about, because a lot of people kind of miss what's meant by him being our righteousness, because some think that it's merely an imputed righteousness, that there's nothing that we do that changes our right standing with God. And this is common among those who have an understanding of once saved, always saved, that you could basically, after you've committed your life to Christ, you can go about robbing banks, committing sexual sins, and all other things, because what you do in their understanding is not necessary to maintain your saved position, so to speak. But this isn't correct, because we are to persevere in the gospel message from the moment we commit ourselves to Christ to the end, because the true relationship that we have with Christ is something that's ongoing. So for Christ to be our righteousness, what it simply means is, because we are not being condemned for the sins that we have committed, we are able to now live righteous and be accepted on the basis of our righteousness and the merits that we gain in this life, because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ makes them have eternal meaning. This merit that we have now is a merit that we gain not because we ourselves cleaned up our act, but because the grace of God came into our lives, wiped away all of our past offenses, so that what we do now, that good works that we were created unto in Ephesians 2:10, that now allows us to have that treasure in heaven. And that's kind of the direction that it's kind of leading us toward. We are made righteous of God in Christ Jesus. This is kind of a statement that's kind of made in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And it means more than just an imputed righteousness. When we first look at a sinner who is led to trust in Christ for salvation, we understand that we look more to the work of Jesus Christ rather than to his being an individual person that represents him. For he looks to the cross, he sees Christ suffering there, and there is the basis for the righteousness that comes about, because Christ in his atoning debt wipes out our past debts that we could not pay. And it's in God's pardoning mercy that the life we now live is worked out in grace. The substitution and curse bearing of the atonement of Christ dying in our place is what brings us peace to begin with. And when we understand how that righteousness of Christ brings and becomes our very own, and how we can be strengthened by it, and our deeds from that point on can be considered righteous, because it's his righteousness, not our righteousness, that we can move forward. And this is what Romans chapter 5 is talking about, that we're justified by faith, and therefore we have peace with God. We don't have to worry about what happens when we die, because we know that as long as we maintain our lives in the perfection that we're called to, the holiness that we're now called to, that will wear a robe of righteousness in eternity and truly have a righteousness bestowed on us that we would not have had Christ not gone to the cross. So there's kind of this dual part. And I need to make sure that it's really clear to you that the righteousness that we have of God in Christ Jesus nowadays is a righteousness that's based first upon the death, burial, and resurrection, the gospel portion, that God will wipe away our sins and consider us righteous, but also that we can now live saintly, holy lives because of that. And the life that we are living, it's not a meritorious gaining of salvation, but it's a continual working out of the righteousness that God has bestowed on us in Christ. And this is where we grow in the Christian life. And this is the type of ongoing act of grace that we cooperate with that needs to happen. Because the more we understand how God justifies the ungodly and allows the righteousness that we now do to have any kind of merit, is because we see it in our union with Christ, who is the second Adam. Because Christ himself has made himself one with his people. He's the vine that we are the branches to. And because of our unity, we now can do righteous things and have these righteous acts that we do of giving food to the hungry, clothing the naked, giving shelter to those who are homeless, and have some kind of merit from it, treasure stored up in heaven, because of the nature of holiness that's now made possible because our sins can be blotted out and atoned for in Christ. It is a work that doesn't become less precious because we ourselves participate in it. It is something that really honestly, because we participate in it, it deepens the love and the relationship that we have, because we're able to see how much we lost in what sin robbed from us, is this meritorious side of being able to store up treasure in heaven. As the experience begins to dawn on our hearts and our minds, we start understanding more what the scripture means, like in Jeremiah 23:6, where it talks about how the name of the Redeemer is the Lord our righteousness. We find that our righteousness is based in him. It's not based in the fact that we ourselves worked our salvation and merited ourselves, but it's because we are now able, because of Christ being created anew in him, because of his sacrificial death and burial resurrection, that we can walk in these good works. In fact, Isaiah puts it this way, that it is in the Lord that I have righteousness and strength. This is kind of the statement in Isaiah 45:24, to where we find that the basis for our ability to do right is based in the Lord, being that branch in the vine. This is also where in 1 Corinthians 1:10, that's being stressed, that Christ is made unto us righteousness. It is a righteousness that, in a sense, is imputed to us because our past sins are blotted out, but is a righteousness that we still work out in fear and trembling, as Philippians 2:10 talks about. And it's that righteousness of God that we now find in Christ Jesus. So by placing ourselves in him, by having our sins blotted out, now we can live right. Now we can have the kind of righteousness that the law spoke about as being possible, but has been impossible because of our sinfulness. And this is why we are called to be found in Christ Jesus, as Philippians 3:9 points out, because it's finding this right standing with God based on the atonement that makes our right deeds today have the good meaning that they need to be. And this is really what it's all about. It's getting into righteousness because it is the way that we live as Christians. And this really needs to be stressed and understood, that we cooperate with the grace, we live out the Ten Commandments, we live out all that stuff that we're supposed to in loving our neighbor and God as ourselves, and we find this righteousness that brings the justification of life. It's a justification, once again, that's founded on the fact that Jesus died on a cross, blotted out our sins, and created us anew. Basically, we got a clean slate. We can now live the kind of life that we're supposed to. It's kind of like a man that's been pardoned and set free from death row. The life from that moment on is a life that's lived of grace. The good that he's able to do does not change the fact that at one point in time he was a sinner, but does reflect the fact that he has this new writ on life, this new ability to live correctly. And this is what it means in even Romans 10:15, when it talks about us receiving the gift of righteousness, by which we'll now reign in our life through Christ Jesus. This is a very important part. That our righteousness is something that we gain by faith because it's based in the gospel message of the atonement and not based in the simple fact that we've always done what's right and not done what's wrong. So we need to understand how this righteousness, how our good deeds today have merit. And it is, in a sense, because we've been imputed righteously, because the imputation of forgiveness makes our good standing something that we can work out now. And it also allows us to see how we really need to be clothed in Jesus to truly be united as a branch on the vine in order to bear out this much fruit of righteousness that benefits others. And that we really truly understand that because we're able to bear these fruit, it's not something that we can boast about in and of ourselves, because it still finds its way back to the cross, because we fell short before we knew Jesus Christ and were able to totally make a commitment for him. By living in Christ and realizing that he is the source of our right living and our right standing, we no longer see any impossibility of truly being a saint. We can actually start living the kind of lives that can be holy and righteous. And we truly understand what the scripture means when it talks about in Ephesians 4 about us being created in righteousness and true holiness, because the life that we have now is based on how we work out in fear and trembling the salvation that was born from a cross where Jesus made atonement for us. And it further highlights the fact that because Jesus himself is righteous and everything he does is righteous, that now we can mimic that righteousness in a sense, because the grace is made available for us to live a righteous and holy life. Our union to Jesus does have a change effect, not only in relation to God, but also in how we are viewed personally by God. In our intimate fellowship to the Lord Jesus Christ, and this union that's now opened up and now maintained in the relationship of holiness that we keep with him, we grow each day into a righteousness that transforms us more and more into his image. For a Christian to truly understand how he's made unto us our righteousness, it's the thought that because the righteousness that we now live is gained because he judiciously made it possible by his death, burial, and resurrection, paying a debt we could not pay, that we need to continue to abide in him for the grace to continue to overcome sin and temptation. And this basically transforms us and really gets into us how the Lord is our righteousness, how we now have righteousness by faith, and that our righteousness is not something that merits salvation, but merits more of a treasure that we can benefit from and truly pass on in the communion of saints as a benefit to others in our prayers. So we need to continually abide in him as the only way to truly be complete and accepted before God in all our ways. This is the important part of grace in working out the union with Christ as a branch on the vine. Because when we see that our righteousness comes through Jesus dying for our sin, we see that Jesus Christ now is the resurrected living one, makes righteousness possible for us by allowing us to live by grace, which is appropriated by our faith and actions, to truly live the kind of lifestyle that we should have lived beforehand. So take this encouragement of understanding what it is to be united with Christ and have our past sins blotted out so that we can be righteous, and find that the righteousness that we now have is a righteousness that is based in our relationship with Christ. For while we still bear about in our nature a corruption that is theologically called concupiscence, but is simply just a corruption of nature to still be tempted and desire sinful things, we can now rise above it to the degree that we accept the unbroken fellowship with the Father as a branch on the vine. In fact, there's nothing that can enable us to dwell and walk in the righteous, holy lifestyle that we are truly called to than maintaining a habitual mindset that we abide in Christ and he is the source of our victory over sin. That we don't have to yield to temptation, nor, as I think it's also stated in Romans chapter 6, that we're no longer under sin, that we're no longer a slave to it. We can be free. We can walk worthy of our holy calling as children of God, bearing about the image of God to others. And we can truly yield ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit to reveal to us the wonderful grace that allows us to continually draw near to God, clothed in his divine righteousness and working out that salvation every moment of every day by how we live our lives. And we really need to, in prayer, begin to take time to realize how Jesus clothes us in such a way that we can be right, that we can have some type of merit and treasure from the life that we now live. And this is something that allows us to enter into prayer with a boldness now, because we do have this right standing with God. So if there's something that I can encourage you today, is to take time to just think about how you need to maintain your fellowship with the Lord and really become a messenger and a representative of Him in your daily life by living out the righteousness that God calls you to truly not hate one another, but to truly live in love, seeking to benefit others instead of killing and stealing and coveting what's not yours. Because if we will do that, we will find not only that He is our righteousness, but we have a peace that now surpasses all understanding. None of the things that troubled us in our lives keeps us bound anymore, because we can continue to be transformed by the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that is based on the atonement of His sacrificial death and burial. And we can use that as the basis for the right living that we now continue on. And this is what the psalmist was trying to talk about in Psalm 45, verse 7, where he points out that God loves righteousness and He hates wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows, a joy and gladness that is your portion, because grace works out in you something much greater than you could possibly lose in your sinfulness, because in Christ Jesus you now have atonement, and you now have right standing, and you now have the ability to have treasure in heaven, because you won't be robbed by continually paying the wage of sin, which is only death. And let this keep your heart in Christ Jesus, so that you can truly experience the love of God and live it in your life. Thank you for this time, and I hope you have a very blessed day.